If you'd like to get out your Bibles, we're going to open up to the book of Matthew. For the last month, we've been working through the book of 2 Corinthians. But for the next 2 weeks, we're going to take a little bit of a break from working through 2 Corinthians and look at some of the big picture mission stuff for Dixon Baptist. So today we're going to be talking about discipleship, what it means to grow and mature in Jesus. So there's going to be three readings today. The first one is Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they've done." The second reading, if you'd like to flick a few pages ahead, is in Matthew 28. The last verses of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Our final reading for today is in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. So Christ himself... Sorry, I'll give you a moment to get there. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Do you pray with me? Father, we want to grow. We want to grow in the image and the likeness of Jesus. We want to grow up into maturity in him. And Lord, I pray that as a church, we would be about the business of making disciples that you have called us to. Would you encourage us? Would you strengthen us? Most of all, would you set our hearts and our minds on Jesus, that we would see him and that we would follow him? And we pray this in his powerful name. Amen. Well, as I said, we've been working our way through 2 Corinthians, but we're taking a brief detour for a couple of weeks to talk about a couple of the aspects of our mission as a church. We talk about it pretty regularly here at Dixon Baptist, and you can see it hanging quite proudly on the wall there. Our church, our mission as a church, is to be and make disciples of Jesus in a loving church in our local community and beyond. To be and make disciples. Today we're going to look at the first part of that, being disciples of Jesus. And I hope this message is helpful for you. I hope every message that you hear here at Dixon is helpful for you. But if you've been here a while, if you are members, if you're serving here, I hope that this message is good for you. It gives you a fresh clear vision of what we are on about at a church, why we do the things that we do, the things that we are committed to together. If you've been here a while, I hope it's an encouragement and I hope it puts some petrol in the tank for you. If you're visiting with us today, big welcome. It's lovely to have so many visitors with us. I hope it's helpful for you too. As you visit, as you decide whether or not you want to settle here, if you want to explore Jesus further with us, I hope you get a sense here this morning of what we're actually on about as a church, what we're committed to, why we do what we do, and I hope it helps you decide whether you want to settle here and join us on that mission together. Most of all, I want you to consider being a disciple of Jesus. I want you to see him. My hope and my prayer is that your ears are open to hear Jesus' call to you to follow him. So the plan this morning is to look at a very brief biblical foundation for being a disciple of Jesus. And then we're going to talk about how that looks around here at Dixon Baptist. Jesus came to call disciples. Jesus engaged in his earthly ministry. He went to the cross, dying for the sins of the world. He rose from the dead in glorious life in order to make disciples. That's what Jesus was on about. The scriptures, as you read them, they have different ways of talking about the life of faith. But one of the most prominent ways that Jesus talks is in the language of calling and making and being his disciples. Let me read again those last words of Jesus in Matthew. After his ministry, after his death, after his resurrection, he says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." His last words to his disciples before Jesus departs is a command for his disciples to go and make disciples. And his promise is that he will give them his power. His presence will help them as they are on about that mission that he sends them, to go and make disciples of all nations. Last week, if you were here, we had the joy of baptizing someone into the faith. What a joy, what a celebration, what a privilege for us as a church to do that together, to baptize someone into the faith. Next week, we're going to be talking about evangelism and that part of our mission of reaching out and trying to introduce people to Jesus, bringing them into the kingdom. That is also vital to our mission. We want to see more and more people coming to faith in Jesus. We want to be reaching out to those who don't know Jesus and helping them to know him. Such an important part of our mission. But we have to recognize something. That is not the end goal. That's not the end goal. That is the beginning of a life of discipleship following Jesus. Jesus' command there is to baptize and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Listen to this quote. Jesus is not satisfied with any hasty profession of faith, any perfunctory baptism. The apostles are called to not evoked decisions, but to make disciples. And that is an altogether tougher assignment. You think about it. At the start of a marathon, there could be hundreds of people standing at the starting line. Everyone looks good. Everyone looks fresh. Everyone looks fit at the starting line of a marathon. But what matters is how many tired, sweaty, exhausted runners make it across the finish line. That's what matters. So we aren't, as a church, just looking for people to make a quick sprint of decision. We are here to equip people to run the lifelong marathon of discipleship to Jesus. What is a disciple? What is a disciple of Jesus? At its most basic, it is a student following a teacher. That's really what it is when you get down to it. It is learning to live in the way of your master. Here's a definition. A disciple is someone who follows another person or another way of life and who submits himself to the discipline, teaching of that leader or way. Someone who submits himself to the discipline of that leader or way. Notice how disciple, the word disciple, relates to the word discipline. That's not punishment, not whacking you when you do the wrong thing. The discipline as in training in a way of life. We don't have many examples of being a disciple nowadays. Most of our learning happens in a classroom, happens in a lecture style, often happens as we absorb knowledge that's just sort of given to us one way. The closest thing that I can think of in our culture is like an apprentice. Think about a mechanic apprentice. You learn on the job, standing next to, following your master around, learning how they do it, why they do it. They show you what it is to be a mechanic and you learn on the job. This is the engine. This is the head gasket. You need this kind of spanner. Don't hold it like that. Don't hold it. If you hold, you're going to hurt yourself. Okay, let me show you. No, you haven't done that right. Do it again. Okay, you haven't done it right. Watch me again. Here we go. Watch me. Okay, this is how you do it. Now copy me. That's how you do it. In the ancient world, there were many teachers, many movements who had disciples. That was how they did their learning. But we are Christians. We are Christians. We are on about making disciples of Jesus. Let me read you another summary of being a disciple of Jesus. Discipleship was based on a call by Jesus. It involved personal allegiance to him, expressed in following him and giving him an exclusive loyalty. In at least some cases, it meant literal abandonment of home, business ties and possessions, but in every case, readiness to put the claims of Jesus first, whatever the cost, was demanded. It's worthwhile, if you haven't already, read through the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the life of Jesus and how Jesus went about making disciples. And look at what Jesus says about being his disciple. He has a lot to say about what it means to be his disciple. Let me just read one passage that we read earlier, Matthew 16:24. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." This is what Jesus says it means to be his disciple. To pick up your cross, to follow him. Later in the year, we're going to be working through Mark's gospel. We're going to look at that account much closer detail then. But for today, I just want to point out discipleship to Jesus involves self-denial, putting Jesus ahead of yourself. It involves looking for life in Jesus, not in worldly pursuit or pleasures, seeing him as the source of life. It is a call of loyalty and obedience to Jesus. A call of loyalty and obedience to Jesus. Now, if that sounds like misery, I hope it doesn't. But if it sounds like misery, it certainly is a high call that is being issued to us. But let me remind you again of what he said in the book of Matthew. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And he is with his followers to the very end of the age. The power and the presence of Jesus is there with his followers. Many disciples through the ages will tell you that Jesus is the pearl that makes the rest of the world just look pale in comparison. He is worth far more. He is far more precious than anything the world could offer. Many disciples through the ages will testify that it is on the road of following that they discover the power and the presence of Jesus. It's as they step out in faith to follow him that they experience his power and his presence. Interestingly, outside the gospel and the book of Acts, the word disciple isn't actually really used much, which I think is quite interesting. However, there is no doubt the concepts of obedient, faithful, loyalty and following of Jesus, that's everywhere in the New Testament. You find that everywhere. You'll find this all through the New Testament. Let me give you just a couple of examples. In Colossians 1, Paul talks about his ministry, his labor to see people mature in the faith. Paul says this. He says, Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. You hear it? Jesus is working in him, pouring his power into him, so that he can teach and admonish and raise up mature disciples of Jesus. Here's a more comprehensive example. If you've still got a finger in Ephesians 4, you can flick over there. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Again, Paul writing, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Why does God give leaders and pastors and teachers to the church? Why? Not so they can do all the work, not so they can run around and minister to everyone, not so they can run a great organization. They can be the Grand Pumbaa in a really cool volunteer organization. That's not why God gives leaders and pastors and teachers to the church. Why does he do it? So they can equip his people for works of service. Remember what that call of discipleship is. So that the body of Christ can be built up and so that we can be unified and have a thorough knowledge of Jesus. The church should be a greenhouse for growing mature disciples who are growing up into the fullness of Jesus. This passage shows us the importance of biblical teaching in the church. Without a full and accurate knowledge of Jesus, we can't grow up into his fullness. And how do we even know we are following Jesus if we step away from his word? The Bible establishes us on a secure foundation of Jesus growing up into him. That is why we preach the word. That is why we open up our Bible week after week to look at it together. Hopefully you are... You can see he actually has a picture of immaturity and maturity side by side in that very next section, verse 14. "Then they will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming." That's a picture of immaturity. What does he want? "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head," that is Christ. "From him," from Christ, "the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." That is what he's looking for, mature disciples who rest rooted and firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ. As a church, we want to be growing faithful, mature, obedient, loving disciples of Jesus. People who aren't blown about by every religious fad, every wave of culture, every headline, established on a secure foundation of Jesus, growing up into him. I hope by now that you are persuaded about the importance of being a disciple of Jesus. Hopefully you can see it as central to what we are doing together as a church. I want to talk about the practicalities. How do we go about discipling people? What are the tools that are needed to grow and continue as a disciple of Jesus? I think there's three main things that we commit to in a spirit of trust, a spirit of obedience, a spirit of grace that helps us to grow. They are a daily habit of reading the Bible, a daily habit of prayer, and a commitment to love and service in Christian community. Historically, those three elements, the Bible and prayer and Christian community, they are the essential elements that the church has always used to help people to grow. I don't expect anyone to seriously grow and mature without a regular commitment to those things, to reading the Bible, to being active in prayer, and love and service in a Christian community. Those three things should be evidently visible and central in our church. I hope you see them in our church. But more than that, those three things should be evident and visible and central in our lives. If we are followers of Jesus, those things ought to be visible and central in our lives. It doesn't matter whether you are brand new to the faith, whether you've just put your faith in Jesus, whether you've been at it for years. And I would even say, if you are checking out Jesus for the first time, if you've not put your faith in Jesus and you want to explore it further, again, I would urge you to start there. Those three things need to be central, and no one else can do it for you. No one else can do those things for you. It's like someone else eating your vegetables for you. It's not going to help you. I've been watching a documentary series, probably a lot of you have, about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in the 90s, the brief five-year period where I actually knew what sport was about and who was playing it. I couldn't name five basketball players alive today, but I could name every single person from that era of basketball. But anyway, undeniably, the Chicago Bulls in the 90s, the best basketball team that the world has ever seen. Michael Jordan, the best player that the world has ever seen. After winning three championships, I'd forgotten about this. After winning three championships, Jordan retired from basketball for 18 months and went and played baseball. Do you remember that? So he just sort of got sick of basketball. He put it to the side. He went and played baseball. Jordan came out of retirement 18 months later, starts training with the Bulls again, gets back on the court, and they're playing again, and all of a sudden he's back in the team, and everyone's like, wow, the return of Jordan. When Jordan came out of retirement, he discovered that he'd developed a baseball body. When he just didn't have a body anymore that was trained to cope with the stamina and the energy that was required to play basketball. Those muscles were kind of out of shape. And one of the defenders they interviewed said, look, I knew that after 18 months out, if I just tired him out, I could defend him. No one could defend Michael Jordan at the top of his game, but they knew that if, you know, after 18 months out, if they just tired him out, no problems. We can defend Michael Jordan. Now, if it takes 18 months for Michael Jordan to go from being the best basketball player in the world to just getting tired out and being defendable, what about our faith? What about our faith? We are growing up into the mature body of Christ. If we don't feed on the Word, if we don't spend time with Jesus in prayer, if we don't love and serve alongside His people, how long until we have a form of spiritual atrophy? We can just be tired out. Everything I've said up to this point, I think, holds true for every disciple of Jesus and every church. Let's talk a bit about Dixon Baptist. Wayne, if you want to pop, there's a slide I'd like to show you to kind of help you understand. Sorry, it's so puny. I need to work on my PowerPoint skills. A slide that I've put together to help you understand how I see what we're doing together. Now, just to be clear, this is the big picture, what we're trying to do as a church. And I just want to say there's nothing divine about this. There's nothing divinely inspired about it. But it's a helpful big picture view that helps me kind of keep us on track. The idea is, as we encounter people in our lives, And as we encounter people in our church, we are helping them to take the next step of following Jesus, moving along that pathway. We start from a place of hospitality there, showing people the grace that we have received, welcoming people with open arms. No matter where they come from, whether they know Jesus or not, we want to welcome people in and be hospitable in our lives. From there, you can see it moves across to two more boxes, evangelism at the top there and discipleship below it. We are going to meet people that don't yet know Jesus, and we want to help connect them to Jesus through the gospel. That's what we want to do together. We're going to talk about that next week. Today we're talking about discipleship. This is our effort to help people grow in the gospel as mature disciples, followers of him. You'll notice there's a little box in the middle there. I hope it's big enough for you to see it. That's the Sunday service. Sort of that little box in the middle of evangelism and discipleship and hospitality. What we do here on a Sunday, I hope those three things are elements that are here on a Sunday, as we gather together on a Sunday, that is a place of hospitality, it is a place where people can hear the gospel and respond to it, is a place where people grow in their faith. But it is not enough in itself. It is not all about the Sunday service. We are about more than that. Long term, we want to see people who are growing in faith, going on to serve, identifying and serving with the gifts that they have. Some people are going to be raised up and serve in leadership. God has gifted some people for leadership, and we want to be training up and raising up leaders so that we can better minister together as a church. And ultimately, we want to be sending people. We actually want to be in a position where we are sending people out of Dixon Baptist to plant a new church, be part of a new ministry, go and serve somewhere else, go and revitalize another ministry. It's not all about us. We actually want to be growing disciples who can go and extend the kingdom beyond Dixon Baptist. That's the last word of our mission, isn't it? Beyond. Just like what we're doing with Aaron and Jenny, sending them beyond ministry here, somewhere else, sending them out. Long term, we want to see people growing and serving and leading. This gospel must keep spreading beyond us, out into our city. You can see administration comes underneath that. We like to think about that as the oil for the gears of ministry, the oil that helps everything run smoothly. It's not the goal, it's not the purpose, but it helps everything to work well. And you can see above it that prayer hangs over everything as petrol, fuel, power for the mission. And the thing I want you to notice about this is that if the foundation at the start is shaky, the rest falls apart. We can't send others off to go and do other things unless we are growing and raising up new leaders. We can't develop leaders who are infants in spiritual maturity. It doesn't matter how many leadership skills you have. If you are a spiritual baby, you're not able to lead in God's church. Let's look again at our discipleship here at Dixon Baptist. We have some structures here to help you grow. Firstly, the Sunday service is here to help you grow and mature. We gather together, we encourage one another, we hear the word preached, we hear and hopefully one day soon sing songs of faith that encourage us. Our children's and youth ministries are designed to help our kids grow up with a good foundation of the gospel so they grow into mature adult disciples of Jesus. If you don't regularly commit to being here, you are stunting your spiritual growth. Not to mention the negative effect it has on everyone else who misses you when you're not here. You may not think about it like this, but church membership, being a member of Dixon Baptist, is actually about discipleship as well. It's about committing to follow Jesus together here at Dixon Baptist. If you're not aware, Dixon Baptist has like a formal membership structure. It's part of our church structure. But the responsibilities that come with membership actually help us to grow and mature. That is what it is about. If this is your church home and you're not yet a member, I want to ask you to seriously consider stepping into that. One of our key structures for growing people up are the home groups that meet each week. You can see the details on the back of the bulletin. If you're not in one, I'd encourage you to join a home group. In those groups, we pray together. We read the scriptures together. So if you're unfamiliar with the scriptures, reading the scriptures with someone else in their lounge room is a great way to grow in it. And we give love and support to each other. We encourage one another in sharing the gospel with those who don't know Jesus. Now, I want to name an issue for our church here. Last year, we had 4 home groups each week. If you look at the bulletin now, we have 2 home groups. Part of our ministry this year is we need to be growing and investing in some new home group leaders so that there are enough groups to disciple people, equipping people for works of service so that we can grow, as Ephesians would say. And if you think about it, we actually don't have the capacity for our current needs in terms of home groups. But we need to develop the capacity for the people that we haven't even met yet, the people that are going to come to faith through our ministry here. We need to develop the capacity that we can send other home group leaders off to do new things. So we've got some work to do there. That's something we need to work on together as a church. Below that on the slide, if you can see it, is discipleship triplets. This is something we've been doing for a while now. Some of us gather fortnightly in small groups of 3 or 4 people to disciple one another more intensively. I've been doing this with a few people for about a year now. How it works is we don't so much get together to read the Bible together as we commit to regular daily habits ourselves of Bible reading and prayer. And we do them ourselves. And then each fortnight we gather together to pray together and to talk about what we've been encouraged by, what we've been challenged by, what we've been confused by in the Word. From time to time, we might do a deeper exploration of a particular topic that relates to living in faith. But I want to say this is by far the way that I've seen the most rapid spiritual growth in people. I look at the spiritual growth from a man that I've been meeting with over 12 months, and it's amazing. It's remarkable. I think the reason is because I've seen these men take responsibility for their own faith. I'm not chasing them to do a Bible study. I'm not leading them in doing a Bible study. They are picking up the Bible themselves at home, and they are reading it and thinking about it. And then we come together and we talk about it. So I want to ask, can you think of 2 other people that you could gather with regularly and set up some good habits to help you grow? Now look, all these structures, they're there to help you grow as a disciple, but I want to bring this back to Jesus. I want to bring this back to your faith in Jesus. Any structure, any program that we do, it's really only there to help you follow Him. He is the one that we are following. He is what matters, and He is the one that is calling you to follow Him. To pick up your cross every day and follow Him, to follow Him even to the point of death. He wants you to be His disciple. And there is only one way that we can do that with joy. There's only one way that we can hear that call to pick up our cross and follow Him. There's only one way we can do that with joy, and that is by recognizing that Jesus carried a far heavier cross for us. That cross that He carried for us, that cross loaded up with all the sin and the shame of the world, He carried it for us. And because of His suffering, because of His agony, because of His death, we are given freedom and forgiveness and life. It's what we celebrated at the communion table earlier. Because He rose from the dead, crowned in glory, we know that He really can give us life in all its fullness. Because He carried the cross for us, we can truly say no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. He promises His power and His presence with us every step of the way. And we can trust Him. We can trust Him with our lives, even following Him to death, even following Him in obedience, because He Himself carried the far heavier cross for us. It is His grace that motivates us. It is His power that enables us. It is his presence that comforts us when the road is long. So I'll say it again. He wants you to be his disciple. He's calling you to be his disciple. And he wants us to be and make disciples together. That's what he's calling us to. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are so worthy, so glorious, so magnificent. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to you because you conquered death and the grave. You laid yourself down in the ultimate act of humility so that we could be raised to a brand new life with you. We think about your suffering. We think about your glory. We think about your power. Lord, you are above all things. You are above all things, worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor, more than worthy for people such as us to follow you. And I thank you, Lord, that and you, as you call us to follow you, you promise us everything we need, the power that we need, the provision that we need, your very presence with us, walking with us every single step of the way. In whatever green pastures, whatever dark valleys you lead us, we know that you are with us even to the very end of the age. Lord, I pray that for each of us, you would help us to respond to that call, that we would follow you wholeheartedly, joyfully, sacrificially, willingly, eagerly, and that as a church, you would help us to grow in maturity ourselves, but to see others grow up, be strengthened, equipped. Lord, we want to see many, many more disciples faithfully following you. Would you encourage us and strengthen us for your work? Give us everything that we need to do that work together. And we pray this, that your name would be honored, that your name would be glorified, that all people would see Jesus and glory in him. We pray it in your name.